Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Superbeats. I personally take Superbeats when I need a power boost. It's my favorite product. Superbeats gives me energy and stamina for my busy day. Right now, get a one-month supply free with your first order. Check out the Dr. Hoffman special right now at intelligentbeats.com. That's intelligentbeats.com. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're talking to holistic fertility expert Kim Schoblad. That's spelled S-J-O-B-L-A-D. S-J is Swedish for S-H. That's her husband's surname. She has a great program, which you can access at her website, the Fertility Glow Program. It's a comprehensive 8-week step-by-step program, and you can take part in it and tackle some of the obstacles that you may be having to getting pregnant. So Kim is a certified nutritional practitioner and a holistic fertility expert. So Kim, in part one, you know, we talked a little bit about stress. We talked about some of the foods that you do not advocate if you're contemplating pregnancy, some of the no-nos. What are your top tips for boosting women's fertility via diet?
There's some great superfoods that you can add. I'm a big advocate of smoothies, so especially for people who are new to the healthy eating, it's hard to introduce a lot of healthy foods when you're used to eating a really processed diet. So a smoothie is a great way to do that. So I often have people start off by adding smoothies in, and it's a great way to add in a lot of your greens and some great superfoods. So one of the superfoods is some bee products. If you have no allergies to bees, there's bee propolis and bee pollen. This is really great for women who have endometriosis. It's also great for reducing inflammation within the body. Inflammation within the body often affects a woman's fertility, and we're often unaware that it's even there. So, but if you have any conditions like endometriosis or PCOS, is a good indication that there's inflammation within the body. So bee products are really great, and they come in powder, and you just add them in to a smoothie. It's very easy.
I've heard it said that royal jelly is beneficial, but you know, clearly royal jelly is what worker bees make, and then they apply it to the immature female, which turns the female into an egg-laying machine. But I'm not sure that it translates to humans. Do you believe in the power of royal jelly?
It is a fertility superfood. I don't. It's only good for some and not others. Like for endometriosis, it's not good. Too much of it could kind of aggravate endometriosis from some of the research that I've done. So I tend to avoid recommending that one just because it all depends on the person.
Okay. So keep going. What are some of the other foods that are favored in the Fertility Glow program?
So raw pumpkin seeds. Raw pumpkin seeds are really high in zinc. And oftentimes, especially for men, if you're deficient in zinc, you're definitely going to have problems conceiving. So zinc is very important for sperm health, testosterone levels, your immune system, and healthy DNA.
Okay. What else?
Another one that isn't really well known is called lucuma, and it comes in a powder. It's a superfood, and it's a staple in many subtropical regions.
I never heard of it. I don't think I've come across that one.
It's a fruit, but they freeze dry it, and it comes in a powder. A lot of it in a health food store in your superfood section, you should be able to find it. But it's really rich in antioxidants and B vitamins. It stabilizes your blood sugar. It also you can use it as a natural sweetener. So if you can add it to when you're doing some baking or into a smoothie, it also known to curb cravings. And it's been known in it's a Peruvian symbol for fertility. So it's said to aid in fertility.
Okay. Any other super fertility foods?
Yeah, spinach. Organic spinach is great. And I say organic because spinach is one in the environmental working group.
It's highly sprayed.
Really high as in pesticides.
Yeah.
So organic spinach is really great. It's got a lot of folic acid, iron, and zinc, and antioxidants, mm-hmm. which is really important for fertility. Another one is raw walnuts. That's got a lot of your omega-3 fatty acids, which is needed for healthy hormone production as well as healthy brain development for your growing baby.
Mm-hmm. Are you a believer in oral supplements, pills? Because, you know, I tend to be kind of conservative about supplements. I could have, you know, an adult who's not contemplating pregnancy take a whole fistful, but I tend to pull back a little bit when women are contemplating pregnancy because of, you know, unknown effects of certain things. But you do recommend certain supplements in the program.
I do, and that's really individualized, so it really depends on the person, but I do always advocate a very good prenatal vitamin, and the one I recommend is really a whole foods prenatal vitamin, because there are prenatal vitamins on there, especially the mainstream brands mm-hmm. that have mm-hmm. a lot of additives and fillers.
They do. I don't understand why they have the FDC number 3 and number 5, yellow, red dyes and carnauba
right.
wax and talc and... shellac, and you know, why do you have to have that stuff?
No kidding, and you're swallowing it anyway, so it's not like you're tasting it. So
yeah.
I don't understand that either. But it's interesting to me that it's a prenatal vitamin, yet those things clearly have studies that prove that it affects your fertility. So you really have to watch. And that, there is a blog on my website that talks about what to look for and mm-hmm. how to choose a very good prenatal vitamin. The other thing that I'm a big advocate for as far as supplements is a very good probiotic. Mm-hmm. It all starts with your digestion. If you're not digesting properly, you're not absorbing, no amount of healthy food is going to help you if your digestion isn't working properly.
Okay.
So, good probiotic is very important as well.
You also are a believer in vitamin D, I've read. So what is a good level of vitamin D for someone who's contemplating pregnancy and in the early phases of pregnancy?
Well, vitamin D, it really depends on where you live, but in North America, because we have, especially in the northern parts where, you're getting the winters and stuff, so you want to have higher levels of vitamin D, even sometimes 5,000 mm-hmm. or more IUs a day is what I recommend. It's very important.
Right.
Oftentimes, people who are struggling with infertility, if tested, will notice they're deficient in vitamin D.
Mm-hmm. And I suspect you're from northern climes or that you're originally from Canada, where they're actually more progressive than we are about vitamin D recommendations for women. They recently, I think, raised it to 5,000, whereas in stateside, they recommend up to 2,000. The Canadians, I think, are way ahead of the curve in terms of recognizing the importance of vitamin D in not just fertility, but also prenatal development.
It is. It's very important. And the other problem is, too, is that with the scare with skin cancer, we're often, most people are slathering their body with sunscreen, and so you're not absorbing the vitamin D from the sun, or we're spending a lot of more time indoors rather than outdoors.
Mm-hmm. And apropos of the sunscreen, some of the chemicals in sunscreen may be xenoestrogenic or hormone disruptors?
Yes.
Right.
It's a never-ending battle, I think,
yeah.
trying to avoid everything.
Yeah, but rather than getting people paranoid, I think it's about adopting a cleaner lifestyle all around. So, other issues, and you do give some attention to the issue of sleep. Can sleep deprivation, which we're all prey to, we're busy, we lead busy lives, and some of us are taking our work home with us. We're tense, we're stressed. Does that have an impact on fertility?
It does, very much so. Most people are not getting a recommended 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. And if they do, they're often, tossing and turning, and it's not a good night's sleep. It's when you're doing, you're digesting properly. It's also, it's helping your balance your hormones. When your sleep is off, so are your hormones. So it's very important to get the right amount of sleep. The other problem that we see most of us are guilty of doing this is we're often on our devices before we go to bed, our laptops or watching TV. Well, this disrupts your sleep pattern. So you're not getting the sound sleep that you should be getting.
Absolutely. Well, let's turn our attention to men because, you know, although sometimes it doesn't seem like it, men are an important part of the equation. So what are some of the obstacles to male fertility and how can they be overcome?
So some of the obstacles for male fertility is sperm motility, sperm count, or sperm morphology. So there's a lot of things that men can encounter. There's different things that they can do diet-wise, like increasing their zinc, vitamin C levels to protect the sperm, because in a woman's vagina is often very acidic. So the sperm has a hard time. If you've got a weak sperm, it's going to have a hard time even making it through. Mm-hmm. So we boost the vitamin C level up in order to protect the sperm to get them there.
And then it's like a tough mudder event for the sperm to traverse the hostile terrain to get to its goal, to the finish line.
It is. It's a big obstacle course, I
right.
think.
And it involves a lot of energy too, because the sperm, you know, stores energy, but it doesn't. You know, it's like an individual one-celled organism, and that whipsaw motion of the sperm tail takes up a lot of energy. So I've heard that certain energetic supplements like carnitine and coenzyme Q10 can
yes.
also help with sperm motility.
They can. They're excellent supplements. The other thing that I talk about, and I know you mentioned it at the beginning of the program that you talked about it this week, is the way that you have sex really plays a role as well, especially for someone who has maybe a little bit of a lower sperm count or has a problem with sperm motility. When you're going through fertility treatments, sex almost starts to become another task on your list of
right.
to-dos.
Instead of the joy of sex, it's the job of sex. It's like
it's the job of sex,
right.
exactly. So
and you have to have it on certain days. It's like, oh, you know, it's like, honey, I'm fertile today. Okay, do your duty. That's not exactly romantic.
No, it's not. So I try to teach my couples to add the romance back in, to add the foreplay back in, because all of that gets your hormones going. It builds up the sperm. There are ways, there are foreplay activities that you can do that can kind of build up. There's studies that have been done that build up a man's sperm so that there's more when there's an ejaculation for them, and it helps.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, yeah.
Okay, so one worldwide trend that's a disturbing worldwide trend, you know, is just as the, you know, the forests are shrinking and the Amazon is declining, there's a worldwide trend towards decreasing sperm quality. And you mentioned the ways you measure sperm quality, sperm count, sperm morphology, the shape, you know, how many misshapen sperm and how many normal shaped sperm, and also what's called sperm motility, which is even if there's an adequate number and if they seem to look good under the microscope, do they move with alacrity towards their goal, the egg, to fertilize it? And so what accounts for that worldwide trend?
I really think it's the environment that we're exposed to today. That the cell phones. Men are carrying their cell phones in their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
That's affecting sperm levels. There's the chemicals in our foods, the chemicals we're exposed to in the air, pesticides. All of that is affecting sperm. On it, it's affecting women and men.
Right. So that and the sperm may be particularly vulnerable to that effect. Because it does reside sort of in an exterior part of the body. And also, it's a short-lived cell that may really take a hit from some environmental chemicals and exposures.
Yep.
So then this suggests that couples who are embarking on the project of pregnancy should maybe undergo a detox program before, even if they're not having fertility problems, because regardless of whether the woman gets pregnant, I mean, there's such an alarming incidence of autism, birth defects, attention deficit disorder, that maybe it's a good idea for both men and women to get clean before they, the egg is fertilized and we're off to the races.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. I'm a firm believer, and every person, whether you have fertility problems or not, should undergo a cleanse and start to prepare, you know, even 6 months to a year in advance before even wanting to conceive a child. We often see pregnant women that the minute they're pregnant, okay, I'm going to start to watch what I eat, I'm going to start to be healthy. Well,
too
at
late.
That point,
yeah.
It's too late. Yeah, it's too. So whatever you've done prior to that is what the baby is going to experience. So
yeah,
really, at that point, it doesn't matter what you do.
Right. Well, yeah, because for a couple of reasons. One is because by the time you actually know you're pregnant, there's some critical development of the, especially of the nervous system.
Yeah.
And additionally, there's, you know, the issue of residual toxins, which, you know, if you decide, well, you know, I'm going to have a tuna fish sandwich every single day, and it's now that I'm pregnant, I'm going to stop. Well, there's all that mercury that's accumulated in your body.
Yes, and then there's no way of detox. You're not going to start detoxing at that point because now that's all going. It's all going to be absorbed by the baby.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be doing that when you're pregnant. It's something you want to do before.
Okay. So, what about the folic acid connection? And you know, now there's a whole debate about, you know, should women get folic acid? Should they get natural 5-methylfolate? That seems to be an important nutrient for preventing birth defects.
It is. There's you have to, the 5-methylfolate is good. If you're getting just the straight folic acid, a lot of the supplements, there's been some studies to say that it isn't good, and so there's been some controversy about that. But a good if you're getting it in the right form, either through your diet or the 5-methylfolate, it's very important for the neural development of the child.
And as you mentioned earlier, you know, you mentioned spinach. The word folate also is the same root is found in the word foliage. So anything green is generally a good source of folate. Also, liver seems to contain some folate if it's organic.
Yes. Yeah, and that's why I recommend a high amount of greens. I do like people to introduce a lot of greens every day into their diet. So if that's something that's new, that's where the smoothie comes in. It's easy to kind of put that in the smoothie and hide it if people aren't used to consuming salads or greens. Or it's an acquired taste, and it takes some time. Some people are already doing it, and they're fine, and then I have some clients that I see who are very much on a processed diet, so asking them to eat greens every day seems foreign. But
right.
I do
and
tell
they,
them that.
And there are some, they're bitter tasters, too. There's some people who are just particularly sensitive to those tastes, and it's possibly genetic, but it gets worse often during pregnancy as women become more fastidious about tastes and kind of peculiar in their taste preferences.
That's true. It's also the same for smell.
Indeed. Yeah, they become very hypersensitive to odors.
Yes.
Which actually, that's a natural defense because animals in the wild have to be attuned to danger. And pregnant animals, you know, if they get et, that's minus, not just one, that's minus two. So they're more attuned to odors and danger signs in the environment. So, and also, in terms of eating things, you know, eat this root, eat this berry, things that are poisonous, pregnant animals are less likely to consume them. All right, so what's today's intelligent medicine call to action? If people go to your website, and there's two URLs. One is kimshoblad.com, and the other one
that's
is...
That's the only URL, actually.
Okay, fine. Let's give the spelling, because it's a little challenging. It's Kim, KIMSJOBLAAD.com,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And so they go there. So what kind of resources can they find there?
There's a blog that has a lot of great fertility resources. There's some recipes, there's some tips, there's all kinds of topics. There's also a link to the Fertility Grow program, which is coming up very soon. We're going to be starting it again in the fall. One just ended. And there's also a link on there, if your listeners are interested, there's some guidelines on how they can possibly participate in the program for free.
Oh, wow, great.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a scholarship program.
Yes, exactly.
Very nice. So, all right, so when you sign up for the program, obviously there's a fee associated with that. And then, so what do you get? I mean, how does that work?
So when you sign up for the program, you get a personalized, an intake form. You fill out a whole intake form, both for the, the program is for couples, so both men and women will fill out the intake form, and then I will assess them and give them some supplement recommendation or some specific recommendations for them.
Okay.
After that, they will then be starting the program along with everyone in the group who has signed up. They get access to a private community where everyone from the group is able to communicate with me and each other, which is great because oftentimes...
So there's sharing, there's emotional support, you know.
Yeah, which is great because I know when I found when I was going to the fertility clinic, I sat among, you know, 30 women in the morning, and none of us, we were all ashamed to talk about it, you know, because oftentimes in your own social circle, you're the only one and people don't get mm-hmm. it or understand.
Right.
So it's a great little community, and you can share if you want to, or you could just sit back and observe and ask questions. So every week I have a Q&A on the Friday for that week's module. So for 8 weeks, every week you will get, it's about 5 videos. They all total no more than an hour. They're less than an hour, so it doesn't take up a ton of time. They're very quick, but they're very... informative videos, and they target everything from the mind, body, and spirit approach to fertility. There's also a recipe book that's included, and it has over 70 recipes in there. So there's quite a few things.
Great. So lots of resources available there. The website is www.kimshoblad.com. Anything you want to add to our discussion?
I don't think so. I think you covered it all.
No, I think we covered quite a lot. So a very important aspect of the, you know, whether you're encountering roadblocks to fertility or not, prenatal counseling and prenatal lifestyle modification is vital to an optimal outcome. Yeah, it's easy. I mean, under the worst conditions, women get pregnant, but the outcomes are less good and less certain. And so we really want to optimize, particularly that time in our lives. And it will be to the advantage of the offspring, but also to the parents, because this is a time where sometimes, you know, you get more serious about optimizing your lifestyle, diet, exercise, sleep, stress, and your environment. So thanks very much for joining us, Kim. It's a pleasure to having you here on Intelligent Medicine.
Oh, well, it was a pleasure being on your program. Thank you very much, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.